I'm reasonably confident that we've all asked the question at some point in our lives, what time is it? Or probably, we've probably said, it's about time. I think I've heard that a time or two from my sweet wife. It's about time you got back home. In Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, the text that Hunter read this morning reminds us to be aware of the time. Let's reread that text. Do this knowing the time, that it is already the time hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So Paul reminds us that it is time for us to be aware of at least three important areas. Number one, it is time to know. Paul said, do this knowing the time. What do we need to know? Well, we need to know God. Jeremiah chapter 9 is a familiar text of Scripture. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Now, the prophet is reminding us that the world often boasts of its wisdom, of its power, and its riches. But the prophet told us if we're going to boast, it is because we know God, the God who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. That's what God delights in, the prophet said. It's time for us to know God. Now you recall the prophet Hosea told his people that they have been destroyed. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not that they didn't know some things about God, but they did not know God. They did not know God in a personal way, and that reflected in how they lived their everyday lives. And so knowing God, having that relationship with God. But I think we also need to know Jesus Christ. John 17 verse 3 is a part of what we often call his high priestly prayer. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we know God, but we also desire to know Jesus Christ. And so that is also important. And I think, of course, the way that we can increase our knowledge of God is by increasing our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because if you've seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. So to know Jesus is to know God. And I've always been impressed by the Apostle Paul and his desire that I may know him. Paul desired to have a continuing knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's time for us to know God. It's time for us to know Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to know his word. Acts 17, verse 11. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. My prayer is that we all aspire to be like the Bereans, that we receive the word with great eagerness, and that we examine the scriptures daily to make sure the things being taught are so. And so I encourage all of you to examine the scripture, examine the things that I share with you to make sure that they are indeed in accordance with the word of God. It's time for us to know God, to know Jesus Christ, and to know his word. Eddie led us in that powerful song. There's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something special about that name. And there is something important for us to continue to grow in our knowledge of God, our knowledge of Jesus Christ, and our knowledge of his word. But number two, it's time to awake. Paul said, it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. In Ephesians 5, verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Well, we need to wake up and live the abundant life. Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came in order that we would have life, but have a full, abundant, complete life in him. No matter what's going on in your life, you can still have that abundant life if Jesus Christ is at the center of your life. But that is one of those significant I have come statements that Jesus makes. Why did Jesus come? Well, here John tells us, I have come in order that you could have life and have it to the full. But we need to wake up and cultivate holy desires and passions to do right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. We might call that verse a challenge for us to have a sanctified kind of thinking. That's our theme for this year. To set our minds, to set our eyes on the things above. And here are some of the areas that Paul suggests that we can dwell on, think about, meditate, that I believe will help us to wake up and cultivate holy desires and those passions to do what is right. So whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there be any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, I want you to think about, dwell on those particular things. But I think we also need to wake up and raise our sights and keep our goals in mind. Hebrews 12 follows that great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer defines faith for us, and then he demonstrates that faith by talking about a number of Old Testament men and women who demonstrated great faith in him. And as he concludes, and he concludes that chapter, and then here is how chapter 12 begins. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and perhaps the writer is thinking about all of those men and women of faith that he's just been talking about. We have those powerful examples for us to motivate us to have that kind of faith. So we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I never can read that line without being moved to the depths of my heart. Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. There was nothing joyful about dying on that cross. But I believe the writer may be thinking in terms, who for the joy of knowing what his death on the cross would mean for humankind. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Anytime the thought enters my mind about, I don't know if I can go on, my mind always comes back here to Hebrews chapter 12. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ did not give up. And I want to do the best I can to endure, to hang in there, to persevere. But I've got to keep my eyes at all times on him. And that's where you have this expression, fixing our eyes on Jesus. But then number three, it is time to be saved. Paul said, for salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. This is the most important decision that anyone will ever make. Acts 16, verse 30, this is Paul's encounter with the Philippian jailer. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, think about that brief statement there. It is imperative, isn't it? What did Paul say? Or what did the jailer say? What must I do? It is an individual decision. What must I do? And it is a decision that involves action. What must I do to be saved? So it is the most important decision. But then there is salvation in no one else. Peter in Acts 4 verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So what time is it? It's time to know God, to know his Son, and to know his Word. It's time for us to awake and live that abundant life. Time for us to cultivate those holy desires and passions to do what is right. It's time for us to always keep our eyes on the goal, to endure, to persevere, because that is the powerful example that our Lord has set for all of us. And it is time to be saved, because salvation is the most important decision of our lives, and salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Romans 13 again. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So I would summarize, Paul is saying for us to wake up. Then we've got to clean up. We've got to lay aside, he said, those deeds of darkness. And he mentions several deeds of darkness: carousing, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, sensuality, strife, and jealousy. And then finally, Paul is telling us we've got to grow up. And I think he's emphasizing that when he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't feed the flesh, but feed the Spirit. Set your mind on those things that are above. Do this, knowing the time that it is. Time is a precious gift that God has given to all of us. But I think it's important that we remember that it is time for us all to grow in our knowledge of God, to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and to grow in our being daily in the Word of God. And I appreciate the emphasis that this church places on being in the Word with our classes and opportunities that we have to spend quality time in the Word of God. And I pray that we will do our very best to be like those Bereans who examine the Scriptures daily in order to make sure that the things that they were being taught were indeed so. So hopefully we can use our time in these three areas that we have suggested here this morning. What time is it? Well, it's time for you to begin your walk with the Lord if you haven't done that. And we always sing a song of encouragement, and we always let you know that if you need to come in trusting faith with a repentant spirit, with a willingness to be buried with your Lord in baptism, to be raised up to walk in newness of life, to begin living the Christian life, this is the time for you to make that important decision. If you need to come and have us pray with you, what time is it? It's time for you to do that. Don't put that off. If we can help you, if we can encourage you in any way, that's what we're here to do. That was one of the final verses in our class lesson this morning, of Paul encouraging the Thessalonian brethren to consider how they can encourage and build up one another. And if there's any way that we can be an encouragement to you, by praying for you, by praying with you, or you would be an encouragement to us if you come today and respond in trusting faith, a repentant spirit, and being baptized into Christ, that will be a very special time for all of us. If we can help you now, would you come as we stand together and sing?
People need the Lord.